Blood Castle, episode 636, for July 21st, 2020. While Dragons Claim the Sky, part 2, by Jen Brown. Rated PG.
Amelia Harrington. I'm an associate editor at Podcastle, as well as an acquiring editor at FIA. I'm on Twitter at Amelia Wright, and my latest work can be found in Anathema Magazine and the Decoded Anthology. School admissions are terrifying, especially when you're young with fewer frames of reference. It's not enough to be talented, you have to be over-the-top accomplished to have a chance at enrollment. Not going isn't an option, as it's your only chance at prosperity. It feels good to be older and realize none of that was true. Podcastle is very proud to present the finale of While Dragons Claim the Sky, written by Jennifer Brown, originally published in FIA Magazine's Hair issue number 10, April 2019. Today's story was written by Jennifer Brown. She is a queer, black SFF writer and college librarian. When not working on stories or helping undergrads, she's either playing visual novels and or tactical RPGs, watering an impressive collection of houseplants, or desperately tackling her to-be-read pile. Your reader today is Sheree Clark, who graduated from Indiana University's Creative Writing MFA. She's been a personal trainer, an English teacher, and an editor, and is some combination thereof as she travels the world. When she's not writing or working, she's learning languages, doing P90-something, or reading about war and post-colonial history. Her work has also appeared or is forthcoming in FIA and Uncanny. You can follow her on Twitter at C_L_Clark. Grab your armor and your textbooks and enjoy the story.
While Dragons Claim the Sky, Part 2, by Jen Brown. Read for you by C.L. Clark. When marble cracks, it isn't loud, or at least not in the way I thought it'd be. Thera the Thrasher demonstrated this by cleaving her warhammer into the space where Myra had lain moments ago. Instead of shattering, the veiny rock split with a squelch that came from sliding against itself. Too dense to crumble, yet still capable of being broken. That rock face would have been Myra had she not pitched away at the last second. Clambering up, she swayed gracelessly, swiping away the blood marring her chin. She could have been killed. That thought haunted me while I watched her match from a cramped stadium seat, wedged in between two bettors who could only complain about how boring the Underland scruff were. "How long?" I choked out to one man on my left. "How long have they been fighting?" I'd arrived minutes ago.
"Half an hour," he grumbled. "A bissin' shitless, isn't it already? We're all really here to see Geralt the Grand, am I right?"
He elbowed my side just as Myra rolled from another of Thera's crushing blows, but this time her shield split, leaving her gasping for breath and clutching her side. I shot up, fighting nausea. Myra was losing. She might actually die here, among the uncaring skyfolk, before I'd gotten a chance to...
"Finally!"
screamed the woman on my right. With a deft foot sweep, Thera pinned Myra's weakened form with ease. Abandoning my seat, I practically vaulted the stadium stairs while the crowd roared anew. I had to get to her. Then everything shifted in the span of a blink. Thrusting sharply, Myra rammed her knee into Thera's spine. Off guard from the unexpected blow, Thera wobbled right into her grip, allowing Myra to slash up against the arm pinning her throat, then low as Thera staggered backward, her shin welling red. It was a game of quickness after that, one that ended with Myra smashing her mailed boot into Thera's chest plate. Despite tepid applause, Myra shouted when the Empress called it, laugh jogging to the preparatory tent as if her life hadn't been in danger, though when she saw me enter, her excitement dimmed.
"There's the non-believer," Myra called loudly,
Convinced yet? My lungs were still convulsing, breaths coming hurried. Convinced? You could have died. It's called a faint. Myra rolled her eyes, though the left one had already grown puffy. Anyway, shouldn't you be headed toward the cloud fairies by now? I deserved her ire, even if it stung. Not without apologizing. The wash rags littered the competitor's tent. I tore cloth from my good trousers, pressed in close to hold it against the cuts peppering her chin. I'm so sorry, Myra, for judging you unfairly, for doubting you. Myra's jaw quivered, but she didn't back away. Fine. Apology done. You going now? No, I shot back, because I'm stronger than you think, and I'm not leaving until I find my way into the coif program. Something gentle flitted over Myra's features. She let me worry over her scrapes a while more before catching my wrists. Look, Omani, I was born with a shit back, but it never stopped me from skinning wolf wraiths tail to snout. Know why? Her lips curled back. Because of the herb gatherers they stole from us beneath swollen moons, or the sick ones they maimed just because they couldn't lock their doors tight enough after dark. I fight because I believe in what I'm fighting for, just like Meridian taught me. Sun warm and kiss soft, her fingers burned against my wrists. So don't count me out again. A small smile lit her bruised face. And I won't underestimate you again either. It was a plea and a compact and hope bound up in one. I latched onto it with both hands. That night, I made dragon scales of my emotions, thrust everything I had into a belief in our ability to conjure dreams. After stuffing ourselves with cured meats and rich breads in the victor's tent, we retired to our lavishly decorated dorm room. By the time I'd fashioned her twists into a pompadour and flung her next wish into the world, this time, blessedly, about easing her back pain, I practically fainted onto our only feather bed, but not before telling her about my meeting with Professor Ames. Well, well. Myra sounded genuinely impressed, legs dangling off her side of the mattress. Good on you. Make her see what they'd be missing out on. I yawned. Oh, I intend to. We lay silent, lulled by the sound of temper mages netting sight threads to redirect strong winds every few minutes, until Myra cleared her throat. You know, I'll have real money if I win this, which I'll send back home, she added quickly. But if this college thing doesn't work out, it's money I can use for other stuff. Her eyes fixed mine in the darkness. Yeah? She returned. You could come along while I guard Kel. A real retainership, salaried and everything. Shivers prickled my skin as Myra's fingers grazed mine beneath the coverlet. As we hovered atop the precipice of a sudden, surprising want, one that stretched wide, strong enough to tremble us both. Then it morphed. I'd come here to scrub my family's debts away, the way Pop had always planned. Yet here I was, lying next to a fierce, unshakable girl, chasing wants my parents never could. We should rest, I whispered. Painfully, I withdrew from Myra, pressed my welling eyes into the pillow, so that she wouldn't catch me crumbling over the way dreams claimed the space in my head where family should have been. Professor Ames enjoyed her Gerixian coffee black and scalding, dolloped with a bit of cream so that our cups matched my complexion. Is this a staple in your house? She asked over shoulder, descending Kent's wooden stairs as if floating. My saucer clattered melodically, punctuating our steps. Sometimes. Mama likes to sell what's left to the merchants, but we keep a little for special occasions. And your mother taught you wish coffee. That coffee droplet splattered my thumbs. Resisting the urge to lick them, I took the last three stairs with her, avoiding the portrait gazes of great mages lining the wall. Yes and no. I discovered it on accident. I didn't want to mention Papa. Didn't want to see pity lining her eyes. Instead, I focused on how Professor Ames liked to be on the move. We flitted between classrooms to check on student mages while walking towards her salon. Then sunk into a divan just outside once we reached its polished doors. One doesn't luck into acceptances here. Tell me the truth of how you devised your wish, Majory. Guess I had no choice. You're strong as dragon scale, I reminded myself. She'll be the making of you. I tried to wish my father alive. Ah. She regarded me for a long while, wrinkled mouth puckering. You lost him young. I was 12. Shifting, I set my saucer aside. It didn't work, of course, which made me realize that quaff wishing, and all magics, really, are bound to what the universe can actually deliver. Did you try other wishes? She downed the rest of her coffee, smiled at another professor sweeping by. Ones that might change the course of something large. My brow crumpled. Well, most wishes are about the client, things like wishing for a good harvest or what of wealth, power. I was at a loss, unsure of myself. Had clients come to me wishing for riches and notoriety? Of course. Breland's boys fancied themselves Grixie's best tailors. They once asked me to shear spirals into their flat tops, wishing that one of the merchants would take their wares upland. Maybe a noble might don one of their tailored coats, exclaiming, "Who are these designers? Name them! I must have some of their work!" They were still hustling, slogging to Hannon Falls markets, and peddling their clothing to anyone who'd listen. Yeah, I've gotten such requests, but there are no guarantees. A lot of wish-majory depends on what follows, with how you dance alongside the universe as it tries to rearrange. I could tell my answer disappointed her, so I quickly added, "Though I am excited to test its limits in your department. Maybe we can discuss patrons who'd find wish-majory compelling?" Professor Ames rose swiftly, so I stood too. "Patrons want to see what your gifts will buy them." She eyed me closely. "Come, let me show you the magics they value most." Entering her salon was like traipsing into a forest, brimming with students preparing for battle. Foregoing styling chairs and capes, they huddled around large oak tables and wide bookshelves that seemed to house all the world's knowledge. Together, we approached a group studying in the rear. "Vincent!" A boy with smooth, gaunt cheeks looked up. "Professor?" "We have a prospective student all the way from Grixie." He looked perplexed. "One of the Underlands," she added. "Please show her our quaff specialty." Vincent waved over another mage, a girl with wavy hair and narrow eyes. She knelt before him as Vincent blinked, his pupils dilating enough to swallow the amber in his eyes. Summoning the sight, Vincent raised his hands, whispered the word "rise," and levitated her hair with magics alone. "Hold," Professor Ames commanded, both with words and Ekraverian sign language, so that her meaning reached him even without sound. Like gargoyles, they froze. Vincent, stone-faced, waiting instruction, the girl's wide mouth slightly ajar. "Fascinating." Pitching forward, I tried to predict his next move. Would he completely style her hair without touching it? Make the magic slick it into some dramatic updo? "Raise, Amelia." Minutely, Vincent's fingers pinched together. "Up," he commanded. Her hair went rigid, stretching around an unseen tether to lift her torso first. "Professor?" I sounded small. "Hold out her arm," Ames went on. Grunting, Vincent pivoted his left shoulder, gritting out the word "pool." Her right arm stabbed the air, sleeve falling away to reveal goose-pricked flesh where the hairs strained against her skin as if they were being tugged. Sight scabs peppered her follicles like ticks. Excellent, Professor Ames cooed. Then reverently, now break it. I turned sharply. Professor? It wasn't a question, but Carolyn knew that, preferring to keep her eyes on the way Vincent's fingers bent. Claw-like, he squeezed the air, slithering break between his sweat-stained lips. It pulled a muffled shout from Amelia, as red colored them both, him bloody from the sight carving crescents atop his clavicles, her pale arm bruising where Vincent clefted muscle and tendons and bone beneath. Stop! My command was caught and soft, muted beneath the roaring in my ears. Well done, Professor Ames applauded like I hadn't spoken, then signaled two students forward. Would you escort her to the infirmary? But Amelia wouldn't go, not without blinking rapidly into her sight, round eyes impossibly wide. Eat shit, Vince! With a good arm, she punched the air. Vincent's chin hairs wobbled before a sickening crack sounded. Wailing, he clutched his jaw. Oh my. Professor Ames laughed. Any other volunteers? Seems they'll both need a healer's hand. I watched them stagger from the room, cold and hot all over, like my body couldn't decide what to be. You see, Professor Ames faced me, patrons don't fund stylists. They like charismatic diplomats, keen politicians, unstoppable assassins. She pinned me with a wilting stare, crossing the distance between us. Understand that here. A patron funds your potential, which means it, you, must be ruthless, that you must mold yourself into something they want to fund in the first place. Around us, students returned to their wrinkled scrolls and bitter coffees and weighty desks, but Professor Ames raised her sight, hovering her fingers around a single braid along my cheek. Softly she commanded, unravel. Magics uncrossed the plate, expelling the added braiding hair until only my coils zigzagged before us. I knew what was coming, knew it, even as my stomach bubbled wetly, last night's dinner threatening to come up. A line. Her command stretched those coils until their spiral disappeared, until the hair swung limply before my eyes. I caught it stiffly between my fingers, swallowing around a lump as it refused to spring back into place, as it blotched the picturesque view of student mages returning to a normalcy that didn't include me. Now, return to the melee grounds. Professor Ames made for the door, and tomorrow, I, and a possible patron or two, shall be watching to see if your potential proves ruthless. That evening, Myra faced fiercer competition, an Uplands bastard called Herrick, who had plenty to prove. But this time, I watched them fight with my sight up, straining to reveal crystalline magics sketched across the amphitheater. Blood slicked down my arms as I traced the webbing from treetops dangling overhead, to the crowded seats, to the Empress's dais, then down to my feet inside a quiet corner of the competitor's tent, the most I'd ever revealed at once. It didn't matter that my arm was on fire, or that, if spotted, ushers could disqualify Myra for my unsanctioned use of magic during the melee. I had to risk it in order to understand what I'd missed after years of self-study, to discover what ruthless magics Grixian quaff mages hadn't known to teach me. Edging forward, I traced the magics Herrick touched. Saw them warble and twist others nearby, until I found one that seemed to run between my foot and his mailed legs. Examining it, I wondered how much force I'd need to tug the hairs lining his calves, canting his balance. Or to break his legs, bone by bone. My chest seized. I'd stopped breathing. Convulsing, I blinked and rubbed the sight away until the sweaty heat and hard stone beneath me returned. Which meant I'd missed minute 63, where Myra ended the match with a knife to his neck. I should have whooped and hollered when they announced her victory, but my stomach roiled instead. Myra was a finalist now, and tomorrow, Ames would eye us both while cupping my fate between her weathered palms. You've made a believer out of me, Myra said, swaggering into the preparatory tent. I hid my bloody arm. Gods, my back felt great, and I haven't been anxious about the pain coming back, like I usually am. Does Wish Majory quell that, too? I shrugged as attendants poured us celebratory wine, tipped the glass back hard enough to knock my teeth. Guess we've both got cause for celebration? Myra smirked. Did Professor Fancy Bridges get you a patron on the spot? My chalice felt molten enough to melt flesh. Fighting an urge to dash it against the stone, I threw Myra a tight smile. Let's do your hair, I said, discarding my glass. My breathing harshened, tightening around a panic attack. One mama would have helped me slow if I hadn't left, believing the Imperial College would save us all. Give me another wish to work with. The word tasted acrid and wrong. I needed to twist it, mold it anew, so that it fit me again. As I raced back to our dorm, scraping my shins on the brambles outside, Myra was right on my heels. You didn't answer my question. Was she impressed with you? No. She was, I lied. In fact, she'll be there to see you fight tomorrow. Fight. The Imperial way, like Myra with her blades, or Ames with her strings. Wishes did not fight. They hoped. I pounded up our dorm stairwell, this time glancing at more paintings of great mages lining the wall, and met the challenge in their stare. Would you give me your wish already? I yelled back. Bounding up alongside me, Myra laughed, successfully deceived. Fine. It's a simple one this time. I wish that we get everything we want. After racing through our dorms, humming hallways, we fell through our door breathlessly. We're this close, Monty, Myra said, approaching the room's lone vanity mirror. I'm thinking... She squinted, letting her twist down. Don't hate me for this, but take them all out. I want it wild and loose, so the bastards all see me coming. Her wish was too broad for working with, but that didn't matter anymore. I unraveled each twist, wrapping her flowing coils in a silk square, and flung her last wish into the world, even as the sight reopened old scars along my neck, wounds that hadn't bled since I'd tried summoning Papa. Every gash felt like a betrayal, unstitching my resolve until old aches sprung free. So I made instruments of my agony. After Myra fell asleep, I kept my side up, planted myself before the vanity, and held my ashen arm before the mirror. I manipulated its long hairs without a wish to speak of, whispered commands well into the night until it was too dark to make out my reflection, until it was impossible to distinguish where pain ended and I began. Our final melee came under a bruised sky as we met Empress Troxrin on the college's wide athletic field. Wavering grassland stretched on for miles, accented by the rise and fall of sloping hillsides, marked with sigils denoting different magical sports. There would be no amphitheater this morning, no roaring crowd watching from the hovering mage stands, just 6 finalists waiting while their retinue watched from the sidelines. Though she lacked an elevated dais, the Empress commanded authority in polished chainmail while addressing a powerful cadre. College Chancellor Vihran, flanked by distinguished faculty like Professor Ames, magistrates from Ecrivez's 6 provinces, sign language interpreters, in case college faculty were using their sight, a slew of important somebodies who might as well have been nobodies to me. Trusted colleagues, Troxrin intoned. Again and again, you've put your empire above yourselves, sacrificing everything to see it whole. Now it is time I show you the gift your patience bore. Nerves should have made slush of my veins as Troxrin began addressing Myra and her competitors. Instead, I blinked my sight on and off like flint striking stone, like playing my fingers over fire, ignoring the singe of it. Ready to strike, I sized up Myra's more foolish competitors, the ones who'd clearly thought all coif majors simple healers. I took in the exposed neck hairs of one burly finalist, and the armpits of another who stretched to get limber. Somehow, I'd interject, make a key move look like Myra's actions, but really be mine. Fighters, you must be wondering what stands between you and greatness. Myra fidgeted, hands poised on her daggers, eager to start as the Empress continued. You will be called upon to best one another soon enough. But first, you must face the Empire's greatest danger together. Professor Ames clasped her hands tightly, grim mouth twitching. When she caught me staring, she inclined her head, giving me her full attention. This year, my champion's bounty goes beyond banknotes and nightships. Troxrin approached, royal guards following. What you fight for now is the very survival of our empire and all who walk it. An acrid smell drifted over us just as Troxrin raised her gauntlet, signaling something above. Distant sight threads wavered as dark sky galleons crested the field's western edge. Blinking out of my sight, I squinted through the haze. Chains dangled between the airships, hauling something massive, muzzled. The hell? Myra yelled. A captured realm dragon flailed within the chains. The iridescent creature's scales reflected sunlight and frost blues and fuchsia periwinkles, like a soap bubble bound against the skyline. Its muffled wailing increased as tethers gouged the fur tufting its belly, back, and snout. More rope dug into the membrane of its bat-like wings. Troxrin's cadre rose, gate-mouthed as her warship settled it onto the field with a resounding thud. Comrades, competitors, the Empress called. I give you one of the dragon kind that deserted us. Cacophony erupted. Troxrin senators cheered. Chancellor Vihran hustled forward, jowls trembling. What have you done? Empress, the old oaths! The dragon kind will come for us all! Professor Ames' perfect brows arched toward the heavens. Horses reared up against their handlers in fear. Wait, Your Majesty! Myra screamed around the dragon's muffled roars. That's Meridian! Meridian, the dragon who'd saved Kellane babes from soul-sucking wolf wraiths, who taught Myra's dad to hunt, and then Myra herself, who'd watched over Kell's plainsfolk for 3,000 years. Myra. Her name left me like a plea. I tried to make for her, but Troxrin's guards blocked my path. She's Kellane's realm dragon, Myra pleaded. She deserted her realm months ago, breaking the old oaths like all the rest of her kind. Troxrin cut in. I stumbled backward as the Empress suddenly unsheathed a wraith blade made from the very creatures Myra'd kept at bay. Its icy surface matched her pallor. Competitors, how long have you lived in fear of dragonkind? I flinched against the cry of upland warriors who'd never known dragons or the lakes they liked to drink from. Defeat this beast here and now, Troxrin commanded, and you'll have your knightship. You'll have my armies, too, and you'll march on dragons littering the eastern crag wilds before they know what's coming. Finalists charged with a collective battle cry. Troxrin signaled her mages. They trained levitating arrows on Meridian's writhing form. Myra wept openly as noble conquerors readied to annihilate her protector. I thought of Mama and Papa, of Grixian summer nights, when we watched dragons circle overhead, clutching dying griffins and ogres between their teeth, while trying to guess which realms they protected. Of the way Papa kissed my frizzy curls when, at 7, I told him I wanted to be a dragon when I grew up. You could be anything you want, he responded, dark cheeks puffed with a smile. You just gotta believe. Slack-jawed, I glared as Professor Ames' tight expression broke open, felt rage boil through me as she smiled the way Papa used to whenever he saw dragons, as mage arrows lashed through Meridian's wings from above and competitors slashed at her belly below. Reaching into myself, I discovered a smoking pit dense enough to swallow the sky. I recalled my sight in one blink, revealing milky threads that stretched from Troxrin's feet to the galleons above, running right through her guards before me. And then, ruthlessly, I spat a single word while my hands hovered over magics, kissing their mailed legs. Move. In one motion, they buckled unnaturally, falling away. I strode over them like dust mites, keeping my left hand firmly on the magics pinning them. No one noticed me yet. Not the competitors hacking at Meridian, not Troxrin, not even Myra, who still wept into her hands. So, next came the galleons. I searched their hull quickly, hungrily for it. Ha! A short-haired Avi mage stood at the bow, forehead bleeding as she manipulated threads about her craft like a cradle. I didn't need to bring the whole ship down. I just needed to get its captain. Raising blood-slicked fingers, I reached for the magic stretching from her hair to my hands, yelling, "Throw!" This time, the threads pulled at me, almost upending my legs. But I stood my ground as they lifted the Avon mage jaggedly, then flung her overboard. The leftmost galleon tottered in midair, tossing its soldiers in every direction. Troxrin spun, mouthing something I couldn't catch, wraithblade aloft. I hunted for the right galleon's captain, but the pinned guards quickly named me her adversary. Sighting me, Troxrin advanced, auxiliary guards falling into line as I scrambled backward, searching for an advantage against the incoming mob. But someone's blade struck out, cutting the air between Troxrin and me. My heart lurched as Myra wedged herself between us, knives spinning for the Empress's head. Troxrin snarled, quickly shifting between smoky silhouette and solid form to avoid Myra's blow. Her wraith blade pulsed with the effort, lending her its power. Troxrin thrust its full might toward Myra's torso. We wouldn't last like this, with the world bearing down on us. Casting around, I searched for another move, but the magics in my left hand suddenly severed, shearing painfully from my flesh as my fingers bent. I came out of my sight with a scream. Professor Ames bore down on me, hands curled like talons, tight lip snarl frozen in place.
"So you would turn your ruthlessness against the Empire?"
Though chaos raged everywhere, I smiled. Finally, I understood my place.
"No. I'm shaping it into something my parents would be proud of."
Summoning strength that Mama and Papa and Nanu helped me tend, I called back my sight, even as Professor Ames fought for control of my body, as Myra failed to hit Troxrin, whose wraith blade made landing blows impossible. I peered past all of it, out to the magic surrounding Meridian's chains and muzzle. I counted every thread touching her fur in my mind's eye. Break. I thought it, spoke it, flung it into the sky, until the threads around Meridian's chains shattered, taking the iron with them, pushing air and matter and debris around so that her muzzle and shackles disintegrated. Aghast, Professor Ames staggered as the world behind her seared, bubbled, erupted. I squeezed my eyes shut as Myra launched into me, hurtling us aside. Meridian's flames licked past, igniting everyone but us. And when the light flaring behind my eyelids faded, I opened my eyes, blinked my sight away, taking in the destruction. Only Myra and I remained, sweaty and ash-soaked, amid the now charred ruins.
"How? How?"
Myra stumbled ahead. We faced Meridian, whose pale eyes raked over us.
"Your coif majory did all this."
I shuddered. No. That was the college's coiffure, at its finest. My heart stopped as realization dawned on me.
Troxrin?
"Not dead," Myra muttered, dusting off her armor. "Stupid wraith blade saved her ass yet again." But those without such abilities were gone. Professor Ames, magistrates and senators, Even the competitors, who had been too busy hacking at Meridian to notice us. I swallowed.
You okay? Myra asked.
Meridian approached while I struggled to answer, claws crunching over the smoking field. Myra practically leapt into her belly, nuzzling tightly against her fur. Meridian brought her head low, the best hug a dragon could manage.
Thank you for saving me.
Meridian's voice rang in my head, loud and clear as a bell chime. I staggered back a little.
You're welcome.
Myra laughed. You're always so formal, Miri. Which meant Myra'd heard her, too. Meridian exhaled a bit of smoke.
And you are always so teasing. But you love me anyway.
Myra put out her hand, beckoning me. And even though we stood amidst a field of ash, I took it, letting her warmth soothe my aching fingers.
Miri, my friend here doesn't just do fancy life-saving magics. She grants wishes.
Myra pushed my hands into Miri's soft belly fur.
She might grant yours, if you ask it of her.
I felt a part of me stir, the part that loved Papa and Mama and the Underland magics I grew up with.
You have a wish?
I asked. Meridian paused.
I have many.
She rose up then, turning from us a little. But I abandoned Kel against the Empire's orders, left to join my kin, who yearned for quiet, for freedom, after eons of service. I knew the cost of this, knew the humans I'd leave behind. So, kind as your offer is, I cannot accept. Myra scoffed, voice shaking.
Don't you dare start that, Miri. Look, you made us strong. You made me strong. And now, we have to carry on those lessons you and the other dragon kind taught. I'd rather see you free. Old oaths be damned.
Miri rumbled, sounding like a purring cat stretching beneath the sun, but she said no more. I didn't grow up with a realm dragon, I began, stroking her fur gently. But I watched them fly overhead. Heard of the wars we took you into, the problems we made you solve. I smiled, remembering Papa. But you gave my family something to dream about, and you knocked our crops free just by flying over, even though you weren't meaning to. Miri laughed in my mind, the sound coming like waves breaking against a moonlit cliff.
Who said we weren't trying to do just that?
Then you were always thinking of us, I grinned. Now it's time to think of yourselves, so I'll ask again. You have a wish, yes? Far off, Ecreve's emergency sirens wailed. Soon, Troxrin would bring her armies, would scour uplands and lowlands alike for those who stole her victory. Myra squeezed my hand, as if sensing my thoughts. Well, Mama had always told me, pick your battles one at a time. And I wouldn't shirk her teachings now. Until Myra and I somehow made our way back to family, I'd wrap myself in her sayings until I forgot them, like Nanu.
Meridian rumbled. Very well. But may I wish for more than one thing?
Yeah, I said. I'll send out whatever I can. I wish to remain free, alongside my kin, until the sun calls me home. And I wish for your safety, that this empire never finds you or your families again. There were no guarantees, but if there could be such things as dragons and Underland girls who found their power above the clouds, I thought anything might be possible. Once more, Miri? I asked. I called back my sight. Meridian roared, and the magics crossing her fur illuminated brilliantly, shimmering up and over her horns to set the sky ablaze.
See it done.
Closing my eyes, I wove her wish into the world's fabric.
Cacophony erupted. Truxran senators cheered. Chancellor Vihran hustled forward, jowls trembling.
What have you done? Empress, the old oaths! The dragon kind will come for us all!
And welcome back! It's not enough to do the right thing. You have to determine what right is, whether it's in your gut, what other people think, or something else altogether. The answer is only clear sometimes. That was our show for this week. On behalf of everyone at Podcastle, thanks for letting us share another story with you. Be sure to share it with your friends, hit us up on social media, and if you'd like to show some extra love, head to patreon.com/EAPodcast for special events, bonus episodes, and Podcastle appearances in the wild. We'll be back next week with another tale. Until then, this is Amelia, reminding you to be kind to dragons.